and welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and welcome to our January Gab Sesh episode. Now, if you're a regular listener, you likely noticed Gab Sesh January. That's a little different than what we usually title it. And yeah, I've made the executive decision as employee and sole CEO of Very Amusing Enterprises. Actually, my LLC is called Very Amusing LLC, so I guess in a way I am. Anyway, I guess that would be CFO. I don't know how corporations work. I'm not a corporation. I'm a LLC, limited liability corp. No, corporate? Is that what the C is? Limited liability corporate? Maybe I do run a corporation and I didn't even know it. Anyway. As the person in charge here, generally speaking, I decided we should be doing one of these once a month. It just felt right to have it on the schedule. Usually I slot things around. I move things around. I don't like to do two interview episodes back to back. We have an interview that I'm likely going to slot in for next week, which I've been holding back on, which I can't wait to share with you. I just feel like a Gab Sesh a month is really good to check in, to talk about things that are happening, Disney things we might have missed, personal life, goals, adulthood, shopping, just a bunch of things that I just want to get off my chest that people tend to like these episodes. So I think putting it into the calendar once a month is a fantastic idea if I may compliment my staff. My staff being me. Because I am in charge of, I don't even know what LLC stands for. I have no power and I shouldn't pretend like I do. Anyway, we are deep into January. I hope your month has been going well. We're going to get into it. The problem is Gab Sesh is essentially an extended podcast intro. So I don't want to say too many things here because I'm about to say so many things later. I have so many things I want to say. But the one thing I'm going to say, so popcorn fueled. Hi, obviously, duh. I have been making popcorn at home. I've been buying some brands. My friend Kelly, who listens to the podcast, hi, Kelly. Went to Uncommon Goods, who are not currently a sponsor, but they previously were, and she got me these popcorn kernels that pop in a brown bag. It is straight up from the farm. There's a type of, I guess, a breed? Strain? Those all sound bad, but it's a type of corn that is meant to be popped, and they just take the whole kernel, the whole ear, you just put it in a brown bag, and you microwave it, and it, boom, and it makes popcorn, and some of it stays on the cob. Ah! I feel I'm living out west or something. I mean, I am living out west, but you know what I mean? On the land. I don't know. I'm placing it in covered wagon times, but people have been making popcorn forever. So ignore me. Anyway, so I've been making that and it just pops up in a brown bag and it's air popped. So you have to add a little oil to it or some butter, but it's oh my gosh, it comes right off the corn cob. It's bananas. I bought Bjorn corn, which I think I'm officially ready to say that the non-standard Bjorn corn products are not that good. I bought Earth because I looked at it and was oh, I kind of want this. But this stuff is expensive. I don't know if they sell Bjorn corn at your grocery stores. So expensive. But it's there and the packaging's cute. And I like when there's nutritional yeast on popcorn. I really do. And Pearl pointed to it and was I want to get this. And I was I wanted to secretly get that. And then you pointed to it and said, no, I can get it. Because now I have an excuse because it's for my child. I bought that. It was a truffle flavor. Not good. Did not taste like truffle. But I was at book club last week and my friend put out the standard Bjorn corn and I went to town. Book club, we're sitting around, we're talking. People are picking at snacks. I'm trying to not go too hard. I ate the entire bowl of popcorn and was no F's given. I'm eating all of the snacks here. And I did. And it was delightful. So standard Bjorn corn, good. The other ones, passing. And then I started making my own popcorn again. And usually I do an olive oil, a pepper salt combination. I for a minute did a curry one to emulate the popcorn at Tokyo Disney. That was also good. But I used coconut oil and Flavacol, which is the magic secret ingredient. And then I went down that wormhole again, that if you make popcorn at home, you know that there is butter-flavored coconut oil is what you're supposed to use with Flavacol to make Disneyland-level popcorn. And the thing is, I can't bring myself to do it because if I can have Disneyland-level popcorn in my house, I'm going to be ill over how much popcorn I eat. Absolutely ill, to the point where I'm so hooked on Disneyland popcorn. I was supposed to go to Disneyland yesterday and had to cancel my plans. And it's all I'm thinking about is getting the popcorn. That's my popcorn update. Stick around. We have a lot for this episode that is not popcorn related, but a lot of things I've been wanting to talk to you guys about. And I'm really happy I get to this week. So hang out. I'll see you in a few minutes. Love you. Bye.
Thank you.
Welcome back.
Carly! It seems like it's been forever, but yet it hasn't been.
It's so nice to see your face too, and very, very soon in person. But again, you are floating in. You're floating in with some good news for people who are very interested in a few things, but the first thing we're talking about is Disney Cruise Line.
Yes, and again, this is wave season. This is that time of year when all of the suppliers come out with their brightest and best, and boy, do we have something for Disney Cruise Line. It's rare. We have a, believe it or not, are you sitting down? 20% off voyage fare. But wait, there's more. Plus a $250 onboard credit, believe it or not, on select sailings on the Disney Wish and the Disney Dream. This is so rare, I can't even tell you. It's for select sailings April 26th through July 26th. So there's several sailings that really they're trying to fill. They got some extra space, and so they're throwing out some incentives to get people to book them. One of the caveats is it's for categories 4A down to 11C. So if you're bougie and you stay in the suites, it's not going to apply to that. However, if you also have to book by March 29th, 2026. So when this first dropped, it took me a moment to wonder, is this really true? Because we have not seen an offer like this for Disney Cruise Line in years.
Wow.
So exciting.
And it's not just exclusively for an older ship. It's also for the Disney Wish.
Correct. So if you're looking to sail either of those, 20% off and $250 onboard credit. Crazy. I do want to throw out a little caveat for you, though, because honestly, the very best way to save with Disney Cruise Line is simply book early. So when they announce that sailings are available, like I think pretty soon we're going to hear about 2027, later on that summertime and on in 2027, the moment that they release, if you know you want to go, book right then. You're going to get the lowest tier pricing because they increase the rates as the ships fill. So if you can get them at the very beginning, especially if you're booking not the suites, because those deposits are non-refundable, but the other categories, you can place a deposit, and if you find you need to change the date, you can just change it, or you can cancel it and get your money back.
Wow.
Make sense?
That's fascinating. So really, being on top of it for Cruise Line, you can save money and not even have to pay for the entire thing, just to kind of throw your hat in the ring for wanting to go.
Yes, absolutely. Here's the thing is while we're seeing 20% off these voyage fares plus the 250 on board credit, this is nowhere near the savings that the people would have received if they booked day one up to day seven of its release.
It's that different?
Oh, there are times across the board for these sailings that if the beginning of the day when they first release, the price can go up by hundreds of dollars per person in the first 24 hours. That's why this is so important, especially if you're sailing during those times that are a little bit more popular, like when the kids are out of school, summer, that holidays for sure. You want to grab those sailings as close to release as at all possible for the maximum savings.
I didn't know I was paying a high percentage tax on being lazy. Wow. And just another great reason to book with MEI Mouseman Travel when it comes to Disney Cruise Line. Now, I know we have to jump in a second, but I know you have something new and exciting for Disneyland Resort as well.
Yes, they just came out with a save up to 25% on select stays at a Disneyland Resort hotel. So that's from May 22nd through September 7th. So they're
wow.
Going through the entire summer season. Save up to 25% at the Grand Californian, the Disneyland Hotel, or the Villas at Disneyland Hotel, and up to 15% off the Pixar Place Hotel. Yet that travel has to be completed by September 8th. So that's a great one that just hit us for the summer.
And huge for summer vacations. That's a big chunk of money. Thank you so much. I can't wait to talk to you about a little bit more in the next break. When you're busy with life, work, school, and family, you tend to put yourself last. Hi, I'm Carly, and I've eaten a rice cake as a main portion of my meals for the last 3 days in a row, which is why I love whenever it's time for Every Plate. The start of 2026, not as chill as I hoped for. I thought, oh, it's a recovery month. It'll be easy. We'll all just be making these homemade stews and soups and pastas all day, like it's Stregonona before the pasta takes over the town. But no, you know who had free time? Stregonona. She didn't have every television show ever made on demand. She didn't have clients emailing her constantly. And so those big dreams of cooking heartwarming meals at home just tend to fall by the wayside. But not With every plate, because every plate is an affordable meal kit that solves all of those problems. It simplifies weeknight cooking for busy adults and families. It's budget-friendly, so you don't waste money spending $13 on turmeric that you're only going to use one time. And it offers loads of flexibility for different dietary preferences for whoever lives in your household. They've actually just launched their biggest menu yet. More chicken dishes, more veggie-forward options, bigger varieties of global flavors, and over 35 weekly choices to tailor to your preference. And that's why I think every plate is so incredible. It's cheaper than the grocery store, a place I hate to go. It's half the price of takeout, which I also don't like because I get it. I'm like, what is in this? What is it? What did I just pay for? I don't understand. They have upfront, everyday low pricing, no hidden fees, no surprises, and they have consistently low prices to make staying on track financially realistic. But for me, the thing I love about every plate are those pre-portioned ingredients. Less mess, less stressed, less waste, less like soupy greens you have to pull out of the bottom of the fridge drawer. Oh, you know you've been there. When you were at the grocery store and you had high hopes of making fried zucchini at home, guess what's still in my fridge? Zucchini that's going bad. It's never going to happen. But with every plate, they give me everything I need and nothing more, and every meal always gets cooked perfectly. Their meals are ready in 30 minutes. They give you a step-by-step recipe card. And believe it or not, believe it, because it's a fact. 98% of people say every plate made dinner planning less stressful. Those 2%, I don't know what they were doing with their lives. They were stregononas. They were at home just making a pot of pasta for 12 hours a day. But the rest of us people, every plate will make your dinner planning much less stressful. With every plate, join now and you can get $2.99 per meal on your first box plus free steak for a month. Go to everyplate.com/podcast and use code AmusingSteak to claim your offer. That's code AmusingSteak at everyplate.com/podcast to get $2.99 per meal on your first box plus free steak for a month. Offer varies by plan. One free 10-ounce serving of steak per box for 4 weeks with active subscription. But ditch the dinner time dilemmas with every plate. Ooh, baby, we're back with Quince. Quince has elevated essentials that feel effortless because each piece they sell helps build a timeless wardrobe made to last. But for me personally, Quince sells the stuff you grab whenever you go on a trip because you know each piece is going to hold up and work with everything. It truly is your one-stop shop for building a timeless wardrobe made to last. 100% organic cotton sweaters, luxe cotton cashmere blends, perfect for the changing seasons. Premium denim made with stretch for all-day comfort. I just ordered a pair of stretch barrel jeans. Does that not sound unbelievably comfy? I can't wait to be cozy and look like I tried. Quince works directly with safe, ethical factories and cuts out the middlemen, so you're not paying for brand markup, just high quality clothing. And that's exactly what Quince is, because they use materials like 100% European linen and organic cotton for reliable pieces that last, so you can wear them over and over. And let me tell you, I know it's true. Everything I've bought from Quince has actually stayed very high quality and basically, essentially like when I purchased it, even though it has been years. And let me tell you, this stuff really does work for every season. I bought an Ultraform jumpsuit, $50, incredible, a year ago, and I wear it all the time. I wear it to exercise classes in LA. It's like a little one piece. I walk around and I feel like a fancy little lady. And not only does it still look like the day I bought it, but when I was shopping around for new clothes to bring to Colorado on a family vacation recently, I stumbled onto something identical for $200. Now, I did not buy that, obviously, but I was like, oh, doy, this totally doubles as a winter layer. So here I was wearing the same jumpsuit from Quince in multiple different climates, just maximizing my use of one of my purchases. And that's honestly how I feel about everything they have. And that's not all. I just placed an order, as I mentioned, and when I was looking around, y'all, they have so many things on the website right now that look exactly like the things that I have been bookmarking on social media apps. All those classy, cool girl staples are here, one click away, and they're so much more affordable than anywhere else. So it's time to refresh your wardrobe with Quince. Go to quince.com/amusing for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. It's also available in Canada now, too. That's quince.com/amusing for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/amusing. Welcome back, and welcome to our January Gab Sesh episode. I don't know if you feel the same way. I polled subscribers, and they overwhelmingly agreed with me. But I thought January was supposed to be chill. I thought January was when, like, oh, it's cold out. We're going to stay inside. We're going to work on our goals. You know that I don't goal set on an annual calendar basis. But, like, January was a time to, like, reset after a busy December. Get things in order. Respond to all those emails in your inbox. Loop back, baby. We're looping back. It is January. And instead, January has been chaotic. It's like the 2025 train left the station and going at a rapid clip. And somehow, the January 26 caboose was attached to it, and it's just flailing on the tracks. Things have been so quick and kooky since December, and I cannot get them to calm down. I just can't get things to feel like that January lull that I remember there used to be. Maybe it's modern times. Maybe it's what's happening in our country, which I'm not going to get into because we all know, and it's really, really bad. It's really bad. Maybe it's like the existential weight of that. Maybe it's just the fact that, like, internet moves so quickly that our brains are just on a different pacing schedule. But I just feel like January, I cannot get a grip on anything. So if you feel the same way, if you're a little like, wait, wasn't this my, like, reset recharge month? I am completely with you. Like, since when has, like, end of your holidays are supposed to be relaxing, but, like, we traveled. I traveled with the toddler. My voice is still not back, I think, because that whole week I had to be like, Pearl, don't touch that. Don't touch that. Don't touch that. We were in a condo that it was full of objects she couldn't touch. And I was like, don't do that. Don't put that down. Come here. Come here. Like, I it's just, why was that more relaxing than January? January is supposed to be calm. January was supposed to be calm. Now, there has been, and we're going to talk about a lot of stuff in this episode. But first off, I do want to talk about that your girl's been going to Disneyland a lot. There was a moment, maybe, oh gosh, like a month ago, it was somewhere around then, when the Disneyland app started to allow you to see how many times you have visited with your annual pass. And I looked at it, and my visits were not at the number I needed them to be to justify the pass that I pay for. I have the highest tier pass, which I don't know, is that Inspire, Believe, Explore, Educate. Like, I don't know what it's called. All I know is that Imagine is the lowest. Because I always remember it because imagine a world where you can go to the park. Now, for the price, you get to go to the park a lot. It's just never really on weekends. I have the top tier pass because parking is included. And the parking math did net out positive for me for how often I visited. But I didn't really visit enough. And I kind of got to a point where I was like, what am I doing here? My kid is free until March. Like, I might as well just spend a day there. I couldn't get over the hump of, like, I'm going to drive there, I'm going to park, and we're only going to spend 4 hours here on a weekend. Like, usually we have to get home because it's a weekday. But I've just been pushing it a little. I've been pushing the limits and I've been going more. And it has been really great. I went 3 times in 1 week, which was wild for me. And it was kind of fun because by the third day of it, I was like, oh, we have a routine now. We were kind of like in the vacation pacing. We got there and I was like, okay, this is what we do when we're here. And while I did have to pivot, if you saw on Instagram, I did like a realistic day at Disneyland video. That was the day we pivoted. That was the third visit of the week because I forgot the monorail. There was issues with one of the trains. That's all I'm going to say because I don't know the news story by heart. And so the monorails were running really slow. So we had to change our pace because now, again, not going to be a child episode, but just want to mention this for anyone who ever travels with kids. Now that my kid is almost 3, I am down to all of the stroller stuff being in a backpack. Boom! Being in one bag. And while when I'm at Disney World, I do prefer a whole system. Like this is where the diaper change stuff is, even though we don't do that anymore. This is where the snacks are. This is where this is. But for Disneyland, especially because I'm coming in and out of security, I just want to make it easy breezy. Now I'm able to take the monorail when I'm with her alone. And I never used to be able to do that. It has, as people who follow me online have mentioned, this does also open me up to Toy Story parking, which apparently if you take that and you take the bus over is way more convenient. I always, when I go to Toy Story, I walk just because I prefer walking. I also got into a little bit of a habit a year ago where I would walk from Toy Story and then I would stop at McDonald's and I would get a hash browns and a Diet Coke and it was delicious. I have cut soda out of, I don't want to say my diet because I'm not dieting. I have cut soda out of my behavioral practices because I think it was contributing to all my tummy stuff. Unfortunately, I haven't had soda in a while and I feel a lot better. Don't love that. Really upsetting. But people mentioned, like, now this whole world of Toy Story parking is opened for me. I always try to get to Mickey and Friends before 11. I have this dialed in. Okay. So if you're not familiar with Disneyland Resort, or if you are, you still may not know about this. Mickey and Friends is the parking garage. However, they have one connected to it that has a separate entrance called Pixar Pals. Pixar Pals ambiguously closes at 11 a.m. Why? I'm sure there's a reason. Is it not wanting to pay staff? No idea. Could be, though, because now they have people in the booths bopping back and forth, and everything would move a lot more smoothly, and your entrance moment to these parks for this day you're spending a lot of money on would move a lot smoother if they had people at each window and didn't have to go back and forth. Listen, if they staffed the start of the day a lot better, I think people would spend more money. That's the platform I'm sticking with. So when I go, I try to always get there before 11, and I will pull in. This is so specific, but this is going to help one person have a brilliant day, and that's all that matters. So I drive past the sign that says parking. Don't go there. Then I drive past the next sign that says parking. Don't go there. And in your brain, even though I do this constantly, I'll be like, I'm not going to make it to the garage. I'm not going to make it to parking. How am I ever going to park? I'm not going to be able to go to Disneyland. You take a right where you would if you were going to Disneyland Hotel, and there are two right lanes. I go in the outer one, right lane, and then you're at a light, which is like, nobody's really going to that light. And then you pull right into the other garage, into Pixar Pals. But I go on the outer of the right lanes, like it would be on the left of the two right lanes, and I stick as left as possible. And I am in that garage so fast. There on weekdays, there have been days when I don't even brake. I just pull all the way up. Ooh, bliss. Lately, it's been busy. Holidays were winding down. Passes were allowed back in after holidays. There's a lot of pent-up demand. It has taken longer, but sticking to the left has always been the move. I'm a little scared to like give that up and try Toy Story again, but we're going to see. All of that to say, going to Disneyland has been really nice. I have been treating it like the local mall, which is privileged, I understand. But here's the thing. When I go to Disneyland, corporate executives, close your ears, okay? We don't want you to hear this bit. When I go to Disneyland, I don't always spend a lot of money. I mean, if you really write it down, I probably do, because there was one time last month when I took her to Riverbell Terrace randomly, and then I bought Lightning Lane, which I never do, but it was only for one person because she's under three. Yeah. I bought her an Elsa doll, but like, I don't buy things every time. Typically, we go, I don't pay for parking. I buy popcorns, maybe a snacky for us, maybe a lunch that's like a comparable price to getting lunch anywhere. And that's kind of it. And it's been really lovely to just casually visit the parks for a few hours and like buy a sourdough bread bowl with macaroni and cheese that we split and get a popcorn that you can ask them to dump one popcorn into two different boxes for each of us. Heaven. It's just been really nice to treat it like this casual place. Now, my daughter's favorite thing to do there, again, we're not going to talk about kids the whole time. I just need to paint the whole picture. She loves Toontown. She loves the new version of Toontown. Thank you to whoever spearheaded that updated design, because they absolutely had a family and understood what people needed. My kid will go to Disneyland and be like, great, I can't wait to run around on the play area. Like the area where there's like a tree and branches. We will be there for a half an hour every single time. But on an earlier trip, this might have been during the back-to-back-to-back visits, my child went on a roller coaster for the first time. And it's just wild to be like, oh, we're there. Like, we're there. Like, I'm looking at the height chart, which I have talked about on this podcast before. My Walt Disney World height chart, which people told me about, I didn't even know existed. Thank you so much. And it is Disney World coded, so it does say Barnstormer, but she is able to ride the equivalent at Disneyland, which is Gadget's Go Coaster. And it's just been so nice to be like, oh, a chill day at the park. We're going to wait. We waited in long lines because it was holidays. It's a special. It's a small world, etc. But like to treat it like it's a casual day has been honestly like revolutionary. And yes, again, local privilege. But it's been really nice to visit a Disney park and to take the urgency out of it, which is something that I honestly hope happens this summer at Disney World. Did not plan on segueing into MEI Mouseman travel here, but I do want to shout out, hit them up if you want to take advantage of that deal that's happening where it's 4 days. If you do like 4 days, you get 2 days free. And going from 4 days to 6 days without paying extra money for those 2 days, I do feel like it lets you enjoy the parks in a way similar to the way I enjoy it when I go this frequently. I noticed in myself, the minute I booked a Lightning Lane, which I never, ever do when I'm there with Pearl, the minute I booked a Lightning Lane, it was like my brain chemistry changed. You know, like the Les Mis stage when it's like, oh, we're going to rotate it. Something else is happening. Like, it just felt very specific reference, by the way. They built the stage in high school and it is when they did Les Mis, and it stayed with me forever. Fun fact, I went to high school with Beck Bennett. He was a senior. I was a freshman, so we didn't really interact. But he was Jean Valjean and he was so good at it. And he starred in Les Mis. He hasn't done musical since. Why? He should be on Broadway. He should be on Broadway. He was great. He was really good in Les Mis. Anyway, queen of digression. So In case you haven't seen the chaotic little video I posted online, I got in line for Little Mermaid. It took us forever to get into the park that day, the monorail. We ended up walking to the Grand California. Blah, 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 blah. We get to Little Mermaid. I'm like, 15 minutes. Hallelujah. And I see someone turn the dial to 30 minutes. It actually might have been 35, but at 30, I just like recoiled in horror. And I got in line and was like, I was just here 6 days ago waiting in this line for 45 minutes. I simply can't do it. I was like, what is the price that it will take for me to step out of line? And with my 25% discount with my annual pass, I was like, $28 for my child and I to not wait in lines today for this or Small World, to skip truly almost an hour and a half of waits that we would be enduring. I was like, yeah, you sold. So in line, I bought it and then like shuffled out, being like, excuse me, shuffled out, went in the line. And I immediately noticed my brain be like, okay, what are we going to book next? What are we going to do next? What should we book? What should we do? What should we do? Like, I was on the hamster wheel of Disney booking planning stress, and it happened in an instant. And I'm really, really glad I noticed it, because I'm trying to channel that chill Disney energy. Even if I do by the end of the day feel a little like, oh, we didn't do enough. It's just like, I don't like that feeling. And more the way these parks are structured, like the, if you visit, like you're dropping so much coin to go under certain circumstances. And so something like two free days, something like this SoCal, or not even SoCal, California resident deal at Disneyland, there's just really like anything to offer ease, to be like, to get that thought out of your head of like, oh my gosh, I spent so much money here, I think to me is the way to do Disney in 2026. That's why visiting more often with my annual pass actually makes me feel better, because I'm getting more use out of it instead of it kind of languishing. And about that California ticket. So Disneyland has been advertising this 3-day California ticket, honestly, better than an annual pass, better than a Magic Key, because you have full, like almost nearly full range of weekends through spring and like end of spring. Yeah, because it's through May. Like you have incredible range of weekend dates. And I hadn't really looked into this ticket because I'm like, I have an annual pass. Pearl, I'm going to have to buy her one in March. Like, I didn't have a need for this California resident ticket offer. I knew it was great, and I knew these deals are always great. And I'm always like, oh, I'm not going to buy an annual pass anymore. I'm just going to buy a few of these tickets. I'm not. I need my annual pass. I need it. It's like an emotional thing for me. Also, it's my main work expense. It's fine. But I had plans to take Pearl to Disneyland on Valentine's Day, on February 14th. And my husband was kind of like, so what's the vibe? Am I coming? Or am I staying at home alone on Valentine's Day while my family spends time together? And I was like, no. Like, you'll come. We'll make a day of it. I went to go buy his ticket. Okay. I want you to like, make sure you're like settled. Make sure your shoulders are down. Make sure your jaw is unhinged, not clenched. One day for my husband to go to Disneyland for one day. We are not rope drop to nighttime people. We will not be seeing nary a firework. We will be rolling in at like 10:15, still early enough to get into Pixar Palace. We will not be spending the day there. We will be spending probably 3 to 4 hours there. A one-day ticket for my husband. Okay. Single man. Just, I mean, he's not single, but an individual. Both parks, because I know if we go to Disneyland, she'll be like, I want to go on Little Mermaid. I want to go on Mater. And then we'll have to upgrade his ticket while we're there. One man. One day. Two parks. 289 smackaroos. That is a lot of money, especially when the lowest tier annual pass is around $600. However, this California resident ticket was, I believe, $250 for 3 park hopper days. Somehow, the math be mathin', where my husband going with a park hopper ticket to Disneyland 3 times was not just the same price, but was cheaper than one day with a park hopper. So I filmed a video about this and I never posted it, and I probably should. I'm so bad at posting videos. Oh, it's like I do it and I'm like, that was fun. And then I forget I have to actually like submit it to the internet. I feel like I fooled him into going once a month, and I'm kind of thrilled about it. I'm kind of thrilled about it because, again, the stakes are so low now. There was a moment, which I shared with subscribers, where I crashed out. Because I was like, okay, we're going to do it. I'm going to buy you this ticket. And I went to buy it, and the only sold out day was February 14th. And I lost it because $289, the pressure for what you have to accomplish at Disney during that one day is too high. It's too high. But now that we have these 3 flexible days, and granted, $250 is not nothing. That's a good amount of money. But the fact that we now have these 3 days, it's like we have time to play. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to be like, oh, this is dad's only day here. He has to see this. He has to see this. He has to see this. It made our lives so much easier because we have that spread of time. We have more time. We have more ease. And while I do think like they intended the Lightning Lane product to provide you with more ease, I think because there's a monetary value attached to it, it does not. If you got it maybe for free with something, I'd be like, oh yeah, then I wouldn't be. If you got like a bunch of Lightning Lanes with your hotel room instead of like one because they got rid of the early morning magic. Not going to get into it. But I just think the best way to do Disney right now is just to find a way to do it with ease. And you know what? This was even echoed in our WhatsApp group for Amusapalooza because there was a poll that someone submitted. I can't remember who posted it. But it was basically like, what do you go to the parks for? Or what do you go to Disney World for? And the answers, it was like rides, characters, vibes. Vibes was through the chart. People are coming here for vibes. People are coming here to just enjoy. And I think keeping that front of mind for our 2026 travels is very important and very worthwhile. I just think. Now, I would like to take a moment of silence on this podcast to mention that Film Strip Fries are apparently gone, RIP. They are no longer at Award Wieners at Disneyland. And if you've listened to my food episodes here, you know that they were always on there because they were like a hearty snack. It wasn't one of those like sad regular French fries. Disney World, Disneyland, not known for their French fries. None of these Disney parks be known for their French fries. They were these thick, like these thick, kind of curly fries. And they were amazing. And then all of a sudden they disappeared. Now, I don't know, like, did something happen in the Film Strip Fry Factory? Did they switch to a vendor that's just given us those boring old fries? I do not know, but it's extremely upsetting, and I just need you all to know about it. Also, RIP, I guess this is like the funeral or funeral, depending on how you take this next news. The other thing we got to talk about, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge time shift. They're finally giving us what we want. I want to be delicate when I say this because Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, I do think, is a triumph. They did a wonderful job. They brought these stories and these characters to life in the parks in a way I could have never envisioned. Rise of the Resistance is one of the greatest rides ever built. It blows my mind to even think about it. But there is an interesting pattern now that you look at the way that the lands shifted, where it's like, oh, they shifted the story of the land. Oh, they shifted the story of Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run. They're going to do that later this year. Oh, Star Cruiser closed. And it's a little yikes, right? Like, like no one's ever outright said like anything was wrong with a capital W here, but like we're changing the timeline. We're adding in characters that weren't here. We're changing the music. We're changing all of these different things. And it feels a little like, oh, yikes, yikes, yikes. Now I was among the people who, while I loved Galaxy's Edge and I covered it extensively, I never understood why we didn't root these stories in the original trilogy. I mean, it makes sense because the movies were coming out then, and this was all being announced at a pace where they're like, we're gonna have a Star Wars movie every year, which is not the case anymore. Yikes. That'll give a big yikes too. But it's just interesting that, like, you would think these characters have done so well over time, like, maybe you include them a little more in the new land, and we haven't, and now things are going back that way. And I'm gonna give an optimist's perspective instead of like a journalist perspective, which is that, yeah, investing in the films and the franchise and where it's going next, they did need to focus on the newer characters. What I think is interesting is that we are getting this rare experience now where a brand new theme park land was built only a few years ago. We're now getting a second version of it, essentially. It's basically like a grand reopening. Kylo Ren is being swapped out for Darth Vader. The music is being swapped out for John Williams' iconic score. We are going to get the Mandalorian inside a ride. And it's just really cool if you think about it. Again, the optimist's take here is that we are doubling down on theme park experiences. We got to experience Galaxy's Edge opening day in a way that nobody else ever will again. Like, I didn't think this was something we were gonna have to say goodbye to this early, but now things are changing and we now get to see other characters in these spaces and we get to see new stories in this ride. And while I'm sure the process that we got to this through was not ideal for, I assume, people working on it who put a lot of work into the original version, and I'm sure there's a lot of emotions there, but as someone who visits theme parks, as someone who loves theme parks, how cool is it that we got this land, one version, and now we get a totally different version soon? I'm just kind of looking at it with, yes, like rose-colored glasses, trying to think of a Star Wars-y rose version, but I can't think of anything that's rose adjacent in Star Wars. I'm sure there's something and I'm blanking on it. But I kind of love that we're now getting this different version of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. I just think that's pretty cool. Just to give you the full rundown, starting April 29th of this year, Galaxy's Edge at Disneyland specifically is going to include other Star Wars eras. I'm reading from Kelsey's post on Disney Parks blog. Darth Vader, Leia, Han Solo, Luke Skywalker, but I think Luke Skywalker was already there, right? I met him at one of the parks. It's really hard to remember where I was because I was with Brooke, but sometimes Brooke's in Disneyland. Sometimes we're both in Disney World. Pretty sure it was there. John Williams's Star Wars score, selections from there will be there. This is Disneyland specific, but I am assuming if this goes well, they'll probably bring it to Disney World, right? I don't know. It's like there's more of a, you know, that Marvel split where it's like the Mississippi, like East and West, the Mississippi. Listen, you can Google it. I don't have the brain chemistry. I don't have the brain cells right now to explain that because that is deep in the archives of my head. But like, it is interesting that they are further creating a divide between the Batu East and Batu West. And I just find that interesting. I can't wait to see what happens there. I can't wait to see what this is. And I do, again, optimist's take. I love an ever-evolving theme land, ever-evolving theme park land. And I think it's going to be really cool. Another thing I think is going to be really cool. Oh, just my dreams coming true at Disneyland. Panda May. Huggable Panda May coming to Lunar New Year. On this very podcast years ago. Years ago, we talked to the director and producer of Turning Red. That was a fun one. That was like a slumber party. I loved that episode. That was so much fun to record. But we talked about how nice it would be to hug Panda May in the parks. Now, at the time of recording that, we didn't know that Panda May would be appearing in the parks as part of a parade, a cavalcade, however you want to say it, during Lunar New Year. But now they're letting us hug Panda May, and it's going to be fantastic. I cannot wait. I'm counting down the days, almost counting down the hours until I'm able to. Also, Lunar New Year is coming up. My favorite festival at Disneyland. I'm blanking on the dates, but I feel like it's January. What are the dates? January 23rd to February 22nd. I knew that. I should have just said it and trusted myself. I think it's the best time to visit Disneyland. The weather is usually good. It's kind of hot right now in Los Angeles, where I live. It's kind of hot, but it's still better than summertime. It's great. It's Year of the Horse. Ah! Cannot wait for that. Mickey and Minnie are going to be wearing Korean-inspired outfits. Goofy and Clarabelle, Vietnamese-inspired outfits. Donald and Daisy in Chinese-inspired outfits. You get to meet Horace Horsecollar. Also, I always want to say Harris Horsecollar, but that's not how you say those words. I don't know why. I just love that I don't have to run a race to see them in special costumes. You know what I mean? And there was a chance. Instagram subscribers know, but I don't want to like keep secrets. Instagram subscribers know that there was a chance I almost randomly ran the Disneyland Half Marathon this week. A brand approached me, and I'm not going to say them by name, but they're a chocolate brand. And getting an email at night that's like, hey, we're from Big Chocolate and we would love for you to run a race at Disney. I was like, nothing has ever been more on brand. That the thing that would get me to literally cross the finish line to actually do run Disney again is a chocolate company being like, you want to go? You want to run with us? Come run with chocolate. But I couldn't. It's not going to work out for the schedule. There's so much going on. Oh, wait, it's next week. It's next week. I'm getting my weekends confused. It's over Grammys. I am full-time parenting that weekend. Like, it's just not going to happen. Also, those are a lot of excuses to say, one, I don't have the endurance. And two, I don't want to wake up at 2 a.m. I understand a little bit, like, the running. I get it. Like, a lot of you like to do that as your chosen workout. I like to do as much exercise as I can without physically leaving, like, a 5x5 square. Like, I just want to be, like, in place in my mat. Just moving around a little, but not too much. Like, I don't want to be running. It's so hard. Running is so hard. You're all so brave. And if you're running while you're listening to this right now, a virtual high five. That's me giving you a high five because you are brave and you are strong and I am impressed by you. But I don't have it in me. And but more so, I don't have it in me to run that much. I don't have it in me to run that much after waking up at 2 a.m. No, like physically, I can't do that. Again, so impressed by you guys, but I don't think it's ever going to be me again. There was a chance because there is Miss Piggy Yoga. And I did write back and be like, amazing. Can I do Miss Piggy Yoga? And it was very much like, it was a whole thing. I'd have to go and get the bib. And it's just, I couldn't get it together in time. But maybe one day, I'm not saying never. That's not the phrase. Never say never, but I'm not saying never. Anyway, let's just quickly talk about Lunar New Year food. There's going to be so much good stuff. Again, best festival, best food, pulling from the best cuisines. There is Japchae noodles, spicy chicken wings, 5-spice popcorn chicken. I gotta be getting that. My stomach is going to be in knots because I have all those digestive issues. I don't care. We're gonna just plow through it. I'm seeing my doctor next week. It's gonna be fine. There's a pho dip. It's like a Vietnamese beef sandwich that you dip into pho broth. Like, that's wild. They have a scallion pancake tostada. They have this honeydew colada, which I feel like is going to be the runaway hit. It's like rum, melon liqueur, honeydew cream, coconut cream. My body would crumble if I ate this. And sweet and sour. Yeah, I would not survive. But it's a slushy made with Dole Whip pineapple. baby. They also have that Year of the Horse shaped bread, which if you saw the TikTok video that Disney put out, incredible, 10 out of 10. They have a Korean-inspired Mickey waffle that I'm not going to recommend because the color red that that waffle is giving, you will be seeing it again hours later. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not putting that in my body. But the only thing I'm concerned about is that I did not see my whole fish. My beloved Lunar New Year whole fish was not on the menu. I will be there Friday. If I'm not too busy hugging Panda May, I will be looking into it. But my whole fish was like my favorite food there. And I don't know if nobody ordered it, but it was the best. It was a whole fried fish. It was so good. And I loved eating a whole fried fish at Disneyland. But I guess Disney California Adventure at Disneyland Resort is what I meant to say. But I really hope it's just an internet error. I really hope. Oh my gosh, I have so much more stuff to talk to you guys about. Whenever I do one of these, I'm like, Gab Sesh, what if it's only 22 minutes long and I have nothing to say? I'm like, I have so many more things. I have so many more things. Stick around. We're going to take a break and I will be back talking about, oh my gosh, life, scheduling, Amusepalooza, things I'm watching, things I'm buying, things I'm looking forward to do, something that is so cool that I can't wait to talk about, so many other things. Okay, just stick around. We'll be right back. I'll see you soon. I mean, like in a couple minutes. Okay. Okay, bye. There is nothing I love more than traveling. But you know what I don't love? The actual traveling. I've lost days of my life just getting from point A to point B. My home airport is LAX, okay, people? I know what it is like to have a bad travel day. And as I get older and I have seemingly less free time, I want to make the most of my vacation days, which is why I'm so excited about Outdoorsy. With Outdoorsy, you can rent an RV or camper and turn the drive into part of the vacation on your schedule, with your people, and with way more flexibility. I spent 2 nights in a camper van a few years ago, and I'm not gonna lie, it kind of changed my life. Waking up with the world's most beautiful view of mountains that I never would have gotten in a hotel while snuggling with my dog? Actual heaven. I cooked my friend Shay's macaroni and cheese recipe in a van while hanging out with my family. Also, we changed cities every day. We went for hikes and had our own bathroom to come back to and a vehicle full of cold seltzers. Nothing beats it. With Outdoorsy, you can rent an RV or camper and travel on your own terms. No TSA lines, no strict schedules, and no rushing through airports. You think Home Alone would have happened if they used Outdoorsy? Surely not. And because you know I'm a Disney kid at heart, don't forget that we really can have it all. Outdoorsy even offers RV delivery and setup in many locations, which can make staying somewhere like Fort Wilderness a breeze. Also, don't forget, they have RV parking at Disneyland. Imagine coming back to your RV or camper van and taking a midday nap so the kids can stay up late enough for fireworks? Incredible! It's just so rad. Your car is a house. Your house is a car. Your car is a kitchen. Your kitchen is a bedroom. You can squeeze every ounce of vacation out of your vacation days when you travel with Outdoorsy. So stop stressing about logistics and Comfort Plus Extra Main nonsense. And don't deal with Delta customer service because I've been there and it stinks. If you're ready for a trip that actually feels like the break you deserve, head to Outdoorsy.com. Outdoorsy is currently running a very special promotion for listeners. Use promo code AMUSING at checkout to take advantage of this limited time offer. That's Outdoorsy.com, promo code AMUSING. Most trips focus on getting somewhere. Outdoorsy is about the part in between. Ooh, my favorite style hack is back because we are talking Armoire. And with a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. But more importantly, you can solve all your ambiguous stress that you know is there but you can't quite put your finger on it, which for me always stems back to not having what I need in my closet. With Armoire, you'll take a little quiz, select items from your personalized closet, and in as little as 2 days, boom, your new wardrobe shows up at your door. Then, when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. Y'all know I am obsessed with Armoire. Obsessed! And I'm genuinely so excited they are back on Very Amusing. I think their service is fabulous because it lets you test out new styles of clothing when you're, oh, I don't know, postpartum and trying to figure out who the heck you were and who you're gonna be, and you don't want to commit to an item that in a few months you might look at it and go, really? This? This is what we spend money on? Which I've done more than a few times, and it's upsetting. Armoire is also so helpful when you're traveling to a different climate or on vacation. Or if you want to try out a new go-to airplane outfit that you're not sure if it's going to work as an airplane outfit, Armoire solves that problem. It's also so helpful to have items from them to look forward to if your body changes and nothing you like fits, which for me lately has been height. I swear I have gotten taller lately. I think it's because I'm slouching less and all of the pants I own are too short now. They're all too short. And I'm proud to say that is an armoireable issue. I just think Armoire is the best, and I'm thrilled that they're extending a pretty bonkers offer your way. More on that in a moment. I just want to mention, y'all know I've been dealing with a lot of change these past 4 years. I had a gigantic baby, and not only did I physically change, but my entire lifestyle changed. And I found myself rapidly changing sizes in all directions, including height, I'm not joking about that, with a frazzled brain that truly did not know what it wanted to wear. Armoire gave me the ability to explore personal style again and load up on the basics I craved without the stress of buying things I may never want to wear again or burning a full day seeking out new clothes that I kind of liked but didn't love, but I already put in the time for shopping and you only have that day, so you just get them anyway. Oh, I hate that feeling. Armoire helped me wear things that made me happy without worrying that they might be too small or too big or too wasteful or too not me in the near future. Armoire really kind of solved all my problems, including that feeling you have when you're going out to a dinner with friends and you know everyone's gonna be dressed really well and nothing in your closet at the moment just feels like you. And I still remember wearing a full head-to-toe Armoire outfit to this Royal Caribbean brand dinner and it being the first time in a while that I felt good. And ever since then, I have been a ride-or-die Armoire fan for life. Pro tip, by the way, you can buy stuff directly from them that you rent at a discount. And I have. I bought that outfit that I wore to that event. And it's sick. I love it still. Also, if that's not enough, they've got quarterly rentals. The company is woman-founded and woman-led, huge in my book, and they're stocked with clothes you actually want to wear. So trust me, give it a shot. Right now, this is the deal. Ba-ba-da-da. My listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 60% off their first month. That's up to $150 off. Just visit armoire.style/amusing. That's armoire.style/amusing to get up to 60% off your first month and never, ever worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. Welcome back. Before we get into some other life stuff, I do just want to mention that Amusapalooza is happening very, very soon. Exactly 2 weeks from when you are listening to this. Oh my Lord. And I gotta say, it's coming together quite nicely. If you are attending, you know that we have sent out a group directory. The WhatsApp chat is going. Things are happening. If you aren't going, please know that the struggles I had in planning this one are going to set us up for future success. I don't see how we wouldn't do this again at this point because it does seem like it's coming together nicely, but oh my Lord, is it a lot of work? Oh my Lord. And the funny thing is, whenever I've seen friends the past few weeks, they're like, oh, how's the trip going? Like, tell me, what's the schedule? What's happening? And I explain it to them and every single friend of mine, like a friend I'm talking to in person will be like, you have 100 people coming? Like, are you freaking out? Are you panicking? Are you losing your mind? And I keep telling them, it hasn't even clocked as something stressful. There are so many other things that are not my skill set. Like, we're going to have a activity that we do in one of the events. Like, one of the events, I'm worried that there's going to be like some dead space. We're all just standing around, not doing anything. Like, that is stressful to me. Making sure people have logistics to get to Hoop-Dee-Doo review, that is stressful to me. All of the type of things that are organizational. I mean, MEI Mouseman Travel booked everything. And let me tell you, that booking process is not simple. We are essentially throwing a wedding. They did all the tough stuff. It's just me being like, making sure the t-shirts get delivered on time, like making all the little things, which that is stressful for me. That to-do list has been so stressful. Trying to get like special little gifts for everyone from brands that I adore. That stuff is like, is difficult for me to do. Talking to people who like Disney at Disney. That's literally a regular Tuesday. Like, it's, I guess, a little Wednesday when the show comes out. Like, to me, that is so not anything to fear or be concerned about. Now, my goal is to memorize everyone's name before we get there, which I'm getting pretty close to after making the group directory, because let me tell you, I did it by hand and it took a real long time and I did not do it the most optimal way. Again, these are all lessons we are learning for the next trip, which will go much more smoothly on my end when it comes to executing things. But I'm like, That's the part. That's why I'm doing this. I want to meet everyone. I want to chat with everyone. I'm not worried about that. It's the other stuff that also I keep just telling myself, like, everything is so fine. Everything is so fine. I just keep telling myself little phrases like, dude, it's literally all good. Like, the event is happening. Everyone's going. You don't need to worry about the font size for one person's response in the group directory. It's fine. But what I am happy about is that, like, this, it is all coming together in a pretty seamless way, which does set us up to do these again. And I want to do these again. That is, if the stress over the activity we do does not put me to an early you know what. The nights I have spent at home sweating through my clothes being like, will the beads fit the cord that I got for our craft? Like, that is what I'm panicking about. But hanging out with everyone is not a concern at all. And, like, my friends can't believe it. They're like, you're just gonna go hang out with 100 people? And I'm like, yeah, that's why I'm doing this. That's why I'm flying all the way there. Like, it is proof that you really kind of create the community you want to be a part of. And while I never intended to do that, I was just writing stories and then was like, I'll share these online. Why not? Like, I never put any intention behind doing that. It just kind of happened and it's amazing. And I'm really excited about it. Things are happening and we're down to the wire, but nothing's a rush and it's all done. And I can't wait for it to happen. I can't wait to share it with everyone. And I can't wait to have this, most importantly, this blueprint for the future of how we can do these again. Cause it's going to be good. That it's all going very well. What's not going as well is my personal organization. I know I spoke months ago, and this is why I wanted to build Gab Session, because we can, like, have these check-ins every month. Because I know a lot of people related to me being like, everything feels chaotic. I'm trying to get my schedule, we're trying to get my schedule down, trying to figure it out. And I did reach a point where I was putting the tasks into the blocks in my calendar, and it was working great. The crunch time before Musicpalooza has messed that up a little, where I'm not even there because it's just like this list of things that are happening ambiguously, like daytime and nighttime, just getting them done when I can. But I do think, like, reflecting on the past few months, I do think I have made some improvements in scheduling. And it's pretty hard. I feel like it's hard at this age and this time to accomplish things and actually feel like you've accomplished them. This keeps coming up to me. Like, this keeps presenting itself where I'm like, I'm not doing enough. I'm not organized enough. I'm not scheduling enough. And it's like, oh, actually, I have made a lot of improvements. Like, I have had a lot of physical body issues. I don't even know how to explain it, but, like, my left shoulder, my right hip has been, like, very off. I had this ambiguous lower back pain. Like, physically, my body was still coming back together after having a child, and I had all of these issues with, like, strength issues, stability issues, postural issues. And I go to a fascia massage therapist. She's in LA, people! But really, if you can find a fascia massage therapist, it's like what deep tissue massage should be, because it actually makes you, like, physically feel better, and it, like, breaks things up in a way where you can actually work out again without pain. So I go to this dude, George. He rocks. If you live in LA, hit me up, 747 Charles. I will send over his info. He's the best. And it's like, that's been the only way that I can get, because if I don't work on my shoulder is literally, like, almost perpendicular in the socket. It's fully rounded and it messes everything up. Long story short, I went to my guy, George, and he's like, how are you doing? And I was like, well, if I'm here, I'm not doing great. I'm having, like, this really bad right hip issue that was, like, so bad it was hurting to walk. And, like, the left shoulder is not in the socket. Like, I know where it should be and it's just popped out. And he's like, I see what you're saying. I'm working on it. But, like, you need to recognize how much better you're doing than when you first walked in here. And that kind of surprised me, because I never think about that. I never think about how far I've come. I only think about how far I have to go. I only think about how, well, I'm still dealing with this stuff, so it's not done yet. It's not checked off the to-do list. I'm still trying to be better about my work to-do list, about my big to-do list, about my goals, about, like, all these things I want to do. I'm trying to be better, and I'm not complete. They're not, like, fully, like, crossed out yet. I'm on the path. And I do think there is something to be said about being on the path and recognizing that you're on the way there. You're making progress, because physically, I never thought I was making progress. I just wasn't paying attention. And he's like, you do realize how much better this is. And then I went to my physical therapist. As you can tell, I have a lot of physical stuff going on. I went to him and he said the same thing unprompted. And I was like, oh my God, like, I didn't even notice that I was doing that much better. To me, I was just like, I'm still not done. I'm not done. The task is not done. I'm not fixed. And I just think it's worth recognizing that maybe if you are feeling a little chaotic in January, if you're like, oh my God, I have so much to do, think about how much you've probably improved at getting things done. I used to be really garbage about scheduling, and It's getting better. Like I'm getting better. I scheduled my, I realized it, like for me, a big moment of growth was to realize that if something is in my calendar, I'm going to get it done. If it's on a to-do list, it's going to get done, but eventually. If the to-do list is in my email, I'm not going to open it. That was a huge one. I now wrote everything down and it's a lot easier. But which I think we talked about a few months ago, and I think I was back to digital, but we go back and forth. It's okay. It's okay. We're getting there. We're getting through. This is like a, again, I'm pre-wedding. I'm 2 weeks out from a wedding. Like, we're not to be like, it's my day, but to be like, we're planning a large group event at Disney World with a welcome event, with a nighttime event, and with a daytime reception. Like, it's categorically a wedding party. Not because I'm not me. I mean, I am wearing white, but that's not what I mean. That's not what I mean. It's not about me. It's about you guys. It's about everyone meeting each other. Oh God, I really stepped in it. That's not what it is. Anyway, I just feel like lately I've been opening my phone a lot, and it's all these people who are like highly functional doing these 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. pre-work routines. Not only doing that, but like filming it, editing it, putting it up. And it's just like, everything is this echo chamber of making me feel like I'm not doing anything. And if you feel the same way, it is not us. It is not us. We are actually accomplishing a lot. And I'm very glad that we are. So I would recommend taking time to highlight one, two, or three things you have done to actually get stuff done better than you did probably 4, 5, 6 months ago. I'm on my phone a lot less around my kid, which is amazing. Before, I was just kind of seeking a dopamine hit to be like, this is hard. I need to be soothed. And now I'm on it less. I'm on it taking photos of her and taking video of her because I have no memory. My brain does not remember things well, especially like her size and her the way she acts, like those things I want to capture. So I'm always capturing stuff, but I'm not loosely on my phone as much as I used to be in general, which is great. I recognize now when I'm scrolling, it makes me feel bad. And then I stop, or at least try to stop sooner than before. But I also have noticed, conversely, and I don't know if you relate to this, but I have these big projects. I wouldn't really call them goals because time is fluid, but I have these projects that I want to do both for my own self and for work. Like, I would love to sit down and take 3 hours and actually learn how to do makeup. I don't know how to do makeup. I just like zoop, 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 zoop. Like, I just put it on, and I don't know if it could be better, but I see those people with like fancy makeup and they look so good. And I'm like, how did they learn this? How did they learn the lashes? Like, how did they learn this? And there's endless videos. There's endless things I could do. There's this one huge work project, which I have been dragging my feet on for a year, like a huge work project. All I need to do is just like tip it over the finish line, and I can't do it. And I'm realizing maybe it's not that like, oh God, I have so much going on, or like, oh, I just can't get on top of scheduling. Maybe it's that if I wanted to, I would actually do it, but I don't actually want to. I don't actually care enough to do it. Because I am someone who, when I am like, when I care about something, I'm locked in. But for this stuff, maybe I don't actually want to do it as much as I think I do. Maybe I'm like, I'm fine with the way I look, and I need the night off. And that's okay too. And I think that's okay too. And it can feel bad sometimes to be like, there's all these things that I wanted to do and haven't done. But again, think about the stuff you have done. Like, I've kept a small person alive while also eating healthy, while also making it to the gym or my workout class like 4 to 5 times a week. Like, I'm getting a lot of things done. And I think we don't give ourselves credit enough for these small improvements ever. Yeah, I felt like I really had the rest of a sentence there, but then I was looking up on my shelf and I saw that I have these Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, Tron stuffed animals from the opening of Shanghai. And I was just like, wow, those are really cool. And I got distracted. I'm sorry. They were so cool. I got distracted. But that's where I'm at. So if you are also feeling a little, I call it wiggly, you're feeling like a little wiggly, a little wobbly about like beginning of the year, and I'm supposed to have these goals and I'm supposed to do this stuff, just consider that you have made it further along than you probably think you have. And if you haven't, then you have time to improve. You have time to improve. And then in a few months, when we check in again like this, unless, or maybe we'll do it every gab sesh, maybe you'll realize that there's some growth that has happened. But to quickly change gears, I need to tell you that I am on season 5 of Bones. I am deep in a rewatch. I listen to every episode of the Bones podcast. If you are a Bones person, you have not listened to it. Boneheads, so good. Just so lovely to be with them talking about stuff. There is a place in the podcast about halfway through where it gets better. I think their producers were like, okay, we need some more organization to this. And they added kind of like tent poles, like B&B Love Meter, which is like Booth and Brennan. It's been really lovely to listen to it, but I am getting sad and frustrated that this is the second talent-led rewatch podcast that was so good, had enough episodes where it made me fall in love with it, and then it went away on hiatus and didn't come back. There's this one, and then it was the Ugly Betty Recap podcast with Michael Urie and Becky Newton, and it's so good, and they're on hiatus because, like, I know they're talented and busy. I know all these people are talented and busy, but, like, come on, man! Come on! And I guess I'm a hypocrite because I, too, have gone on hiatus, but, like, I want more! I want more episodes of the Ugly Betty podcast! More episodes than this! It's so good! It's so good! To the point where, like, I was sad about the podcast ending, and when you watch Bones, if you watch too much Bones at once, you're like, oh, my God! I cannot hear Hodgins talk about bugs right now. So I started splicing in a little bit of How I Met Your Mother to, like, give me a little bit of a break. And I forgot, because they talk about this on Boneheads, that they shot on the same lot. And there was one shot of McLaren's Pub, I think that's what it's called, on How I Met Your Mother, where I can see the diner from Bones in the background. Isn't that crazy? I went down a wormhole, and this is so much proof of, like, if you wanted to, you would. Instead of doing things I was supposed to do, I went down a wormhole of, like, the Radford, CBS Studio Radford Center, Radford Studio, because they're apparently being foreclosed upon. And that is where Gilligan's Island filmed. That is where Seinfeld filmed. That's where, I didn't know, Brooklyn Nine-Nine filmed at this lot. I thought it was the Fox lot or something else. I didn't realize. They shot at this lot in LA. They're being foreclosed upon. The Radford Studio doesn't have tours. There's no way to see it. But there was this one YouTube video of someone who was on a golf cart with someone who, I guess, worked there. And they took all this footage. And, like, their tiny, 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 tiny New York set is where so many iconic Seinfeld moments happened. Like, there was, I don't want to say the N-word in case, you know, not that N-word, but the N-A-Z-I word in case this gets flagged in the wrong way. The soup, that episode. Then there was, like, across the street was, like, the bob cut with the brownstone and the bob cut. Like, there were so many different things that happened in that episode. Like, or in those episodes that were just on one tiny little back lot. And I was fascinated by it. I love this stuff. And I've never been on, I went to a party on the Fox lot, but I've never seen the back lot. Maybe I need to ask a few favors to figure that out. I don't know anyone who works at Fox, but if anyone here works at Fox, take me to the New York Street set. I just love a New York Street set. I love it. I love it, guys. I mean, maybe this is the come down from all the Gilmore Girls events that I attended, but I just really love seeing how magic is made, because I'll tell you, on TV, it looks real. It looks real, and I keep falling for it. I just keep falling for it. Some other things going on that I want to discuss with you. There is this coffee shop that I'm going to the day you're listening to this. If my schedule sticks, I'm so excited. It's called Granada. And if you are, like, tapped into LA internet, you've heard about this. If not, you'll probably hear about it in, like, 2 weeks. I happened to see it because the LA Times reported on it. And I went to check out this place, and, like, a bunch of friends already followed them. So I'm very behind. But it is a coffee shop that is in someone's house in LA. And it feels so cool. And it feels like this is the way things are going. I think people want small community gatherings. And, like, I'm all here for it. I am all here for it. It is this couple who, I guess, they had a kid during the pandemic, and they were, like, coming out of that. We really craved community. And there's this new, oh my God, what is the word? Not law. There's a new thing in LA where you can be permitted to do something like this in your house. Granted, the house is, like, freaking beautiful. It's so beautiful. It looks like a coffee shop. And they just open up weekdays. I think it's, like, 9 to 3 while their toddler is at preschool. They have a coffee shop. They have baked goods and, like, not, like, sad muffins, like, legit fancy coffee shop vibes. Like, handmade mugs that they partnered with someone on. It looks so rad. It looks so rad, and I really want to check it out. I saw a friend post from there this week. Like, I just want to get there before it gets, because the way things travel, you know, with, like, TikTok and cities, it's like, and within a second it'll be too packed. And I just want to get there without waiting in, like, a 2-hour line, because it seems so rad. I really want to go. Other things that are happening, I have bought more clothes from Instagram ads. The algorithm just gets me. I found there's this brand, Mother, that I bought. Not like they make clothes for mothers. It's just, like, the name of the brand. They had some cool, like, and they almost look like varsity sports shorts. I had to order them. They were so cool. I've never seen anything like them. It looked a little like Baudet, if you're familiar. I thought it was Bode, but I've been corrected. It is a very expensive clothing store where everything is kind of vintage inspired and so chic and, like, silky and lovely, and every price tag is eye-wateringly high. It felt kind of in that vein, so I'm excited. These were not priced that high, so it was not nothing, but it was not four digits like Baudet. My favorite, one of my favorite brands based out of New York, CSEA. I've posted about them a lot. I have a lot of things from them. The coffee cup cardigan that I wore to Gilmore Girls, which I bought over the summer and was just like saving for the right time, and then woke up that morning, did not plan to wear it, and was like, oh, yeah, I guess that works for this, like, ideal outfit. Oh my God, wait, I just realized I wore that to the media preview of Warner Brothers Studios Hollywood Holidays Made Here Gilmore Girls activation. Still got it. I wore that with a Cezanne skirt. And the collab I'm talking about are those two brands collabing. I remember putting those together and being like, wow, I never thought these would work together, but I guess the brands do overlap more than I thought. I ordered a handful of stuff in different sizes, mostly because Ben was out of town and I was like, it's, you know what? I'm just gonna order a bunch of stuff and he won't be here being like, did you just charge three orders? I needed different sizes. You never know. You never know. So I ordered some tops. I ordered a cool quilted patterned skirt. I'm not Cezanne. I feel like the quality isn't always what you want it to be, depending on the item. I only owned that one skirt from there and a t-shirt, a linen t-shirt, which was like so itchy until I washed it a bunch of times. I'm not sure what the quality will be of this collab because, you know, modern clothes are pricey and not as great as old clothes. Vintage clothes are much higher quality and much nicer, and I try to buy them as often as possible. However, buying vintage pants is troublesome. It's hard for me. I can't buy the stuff online. The return policies are tricky. So I'm trying to get more bottoms, and then basic, like a basic white top. So I ordered those and I'm really excited about it. I also ordered these wedge platform heels. They're like platform clogs with a pattern in them. And the last time, and like I'm at the age now, oop, where I'm like, trends are coming around. Trends be coming back around. And I used to wear studded platform clogs in, don't, I'm not about to go 2016 trend on you. That thing needs to end. That thing needs to end. We get it. We get it. You were younger and you went out more in 2016. Finn, we are done. I have these clogs that I wore. It must have been 2010, 2011, when I was working in music. And I remember I like loved them. They were so cool. They must have been knockoff Chloe or something. They were sold at LF, which was the store downtown in New York. I bought them and I clomped around in them. And I do feel like, oh, I just remember this visceral memory. Oh my God. Oh my God. So I remember wearing these. Okay, I'm gonna have to tell you the whole freaking story now, aren't I? Oh, okay. I don't know if I've told this before on the podcast, but so I worked at a record label called Epic Records. Epic Records had some sort of part loose partnership with MTV with some of their programming. It's why one of our colleagues appeared on, it must have been The Hills. I think one of our colleagues was the one talking to, oh my God, what was her name? Audrina. Being when you remember, she's like talking about something serious, and then Audrina's like, yeah, wow, it's so crazy. All this is happening while Lauren's out of town. I'm pretty sure that was all of my friends' colleague. I never worked with them, but they all knew her. I'm pretty sure that was Kiara. I'm pretty sure. Anyway, there was always this affiliation between like Epic Records, Sony Music, and MTV. And so I don't know how I don't even remember how I got in this position, but they were filming The City, which was the spinoff with Whitney Port, and that's her name, right? Yeah, in New York. And we had this artist called Videra. That was the band, the lead singer. I don't remember her name, but she was so cutie cute. I think they were the ones that were going to meet with, oh, Kelly Catrone's PR agency. Guys, I'm really, really hazy on the details now, like 20,000 years later. But I remember that I shot a scene for The City that never aired. I also remember I got invited to Whitney Port's birthday party and I went and it was really fun. And she was so sweet. It was so kind of her to invite me to her birthday party. Like, I just met her. But the visceral memory I'm having is that the outfit I wore that day, I think I wore those clogs. I think I wore those clogs. And Andrew Mookmal, who is famously used to work for Kelly Catrone, was the pub, was not the publicist, was the stylist for Margot Robbie on the Barbie tour. The person responsible for the Barbie looks. Now it's like, oh my God, Andrew Mookmal. I think he complimented me on the clogs. I have this visceral memory of him being like, love the clogs. And I was like, ah! Because at that point, it was like, oh my God, these cool downtown people. But oh my God, now it was like the most important stylist in the country kind of comic. He likes my clogs. Okay, now I feel good about buying them. Oh, it all came full circle. Whoa, I wonder what else is hidden down there deep in the troughs of my memory. I gotta find the photos now. Wow. I usually remember that day as just being like, I went to Whitney Port's birthday party. And it was a karaoke party. And I had a drink. And I tried to karaoke. And I failed. And I had to watch Kelly Catrone look. It was like an old famous PR person look at me and be like, oh girl, this is bad for you. And they were filming it for the show. Thankfully, the show got canceled or it didn't air. It never made it on air. Otherwise, it would have been a meme for my entire life. Hallelujah, a small miracle that I'm very grateful to MTV for, I guess, for cutting the show. But I forgot about the clogs. Wow, we just went on a journey together, guys. That was huge. Other stuff that I wanted to mention, very randomly, just like friend to friend, wanted to mention. One, all of the foundations out there are reformulating. I remember seeing, I think his name is Javon Ford, who's a beauty chemist, posting about it. I couldn't find like the source material of why, but all of the foundations are reformulating. So like, make sure to check that out the next time you stock up on your makeup, because it might have changed and your colors might be different. What else? I had plans with a friend the other day to go to a coffee shop. She's like, let's walk around. And I was like, this is LA. We don't walk. And I ended up walking and I clocked like 18,000 steps just walking and talking with my friend drinking coffee. That was also the night that I ordered a decaf at 4 p.m. and it ended up being full caffeine and I slept terribly. So don't do that. But also just incorporate. And like, it's so weird because usually they'd be like, but we don't do that. We don't walk around this park. We don't walk around this park and just drink coffee. We don't do that. We sit at the coffee shop. That's what we do. And yet this break in routine had me be like, wow, it's really nice to do something a little different and to physically move. It was really, really nice. I cut out soda, real bummer, but I'm feeling great. I said something very unhinged in a town and country story that my friend interviewed me for, and it became a slide on their Instagram. So I will live in infamy. Someone got my child a Golden Girls children's book and she's obsessed with it. Obsessed. So I've watched all of Golden Girls, but I didn't retain a lot of it. And I forgot that there's this episode where I guess they write the theme, like a theme song for Miami, and they get second place at a competition. But in the book, it's like the girls don't want to go to bed. And it's like Dorothy, Rose, and Plant are like kids. And then Ma is like, come to bed, kids, the whole time. She's like, come to bed. It's time for bed. And there's one song where they're like one scene where they're sitting at, I almost had a computer. They're sitting at a piano and she's like, enough singing, time for bed. And my nanny happened to look at it and be like, oh, I guess she remembers, I'm making her sound 4,000 years old. She's younger than me. She was like, oh, I think they're singing the Miami. Like all these scenes are pulled from the show, which I almost pieced together, but I didn't fully. And I was like, oh my God. And so she pulled up the Miami video and played the song that Dorothy and Rose write about Miami. And she played it and she played it again. And now like I hear my child sing this Miami song that the Golden Girls wrote. All the time. She's like obsessed with Golden Girls now, but like doesn't even understand it's a show. Doesn't understand. She just loves the Golden Girls. She knows their names. She knows who they are. Like, it's wild. I didn't think that would actually click from a children's book, but whoever got me that, fantastic gift. I think that is all. I think that's everything. This is a real Gabby Gab sesh today. I'll be honest, I haven't slept much in the past 4 days, so I'm a little delusional right now, but I think we had a great time together. Oh my God, Andrew complimented my clogs. I forgot about that. I need to find evidence of this in my past. I never backed up my hard drives are not connected to my laptop, and I don't want to do that. That is one of those tasks that's on the to-do list, but I really don't want to do it, so I'm probably not gonna. And when I say probably, I mean I'm not. Next week, we will be back with a non-Gab Sesh episode. Truly, I've been sitting on the best interview, and I can't wait to share it with you. But thank you for listening, and I'll see you next week, or I'll talk to you about Lunar New Year. I'll be around. Okay, love you. Bye. Welcome back, Becky.
And of course, I have even more places to save. A brand new offer from Elani. If you're craving tropical sunsets and little drinks with little umbrellas I love so much in Hawaii, deal for you. This one is save up to 30% on stays 5 or more nights this spring. So you can save 30% off 5 or more nights, 25% on stays 4 consecutive nights. This is for travel most nights April 10th to June 12th. If you book by June 5th, so Alani is a really beautiful resort. If you've never been there, gorgeous, highly recommended. Have you been?
I have been, but it's been a minute. I keep hearing the word Hawaii. My brother is going, and I'm like, ooh, Hawaii. Ooh. Like the seed has been planted, and now the plant is beginning to grow after speaking to you.
That lazy river in Alani, give
That lazy
me
river.
a lazy river. You can't get me out of that lazy river once I'm in that lazy river.
It's truly
I'm in.
perfect. Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to make it to Alani soon. I hope someone listening does because that's an incredible offer. But would you mind just refreshing everyone's memory about what's going down at Disney World?
Yeah, we still have those two remarkable savings, the get two free nights and two free theme park days. I can't wrap my brain around that.
Neither can
Book
I.
four nights or longer, and you'll get two free nights and the two free theme park days. That's for arrivals May 26th to September 15th. And this can only be booked to February 15th. So you got a limited amount of time left to decide on getting to Walt Disney World. And they still have the save up to 30% off rooms this summer too. So from May 1st to October 4th, the save up to 30%. You can also, and that's actually my apologies, from May 1st to July 29th, Florida residents and pass holders can also save 35% and up to 40% by pass holders, in fact, respectively. So those
Wow.
two offers are still going strong, but you only have a limited time to grab them.
Yeah, and you got to take advantage because I remember there was a time when I was like, are these offers ever going to come back? And now they're back, and I'm already ahead, like thinking a few years ahead, being like, we're going to look back on this day and be like, we had so many discounts and I didn't take advantage of them.
At one point, there were so many discounts, it was hard to tell them apart. When you're calling in for clients like we do, we compare offers because sometimes some offers sound a lot better than they actually are when you compare three or four offers that are all together. So we spend a lot of time going, what about this one? Does this save more money? Will this one save more money? We're not sure. So we're always looking to find the best savings for our guests.
And that's exactly why people should be booking with a travel agent. Because if you try to do that on your own end, it's going to take hours and you're going to be on that website and you're going to be really annoyed because it's really hard to do.
Save the time, let us do it for you.
Oh, you're the best. Thank you so much, Becky. I appreciate this. And I hope people get to plan some very fun, happy vacations and save some money
You
while
too.
doing it.
See you real soon.
See you soon.
Hi, Charlie. This is Paige. I called over the summer to thank you for your episode about taking a toddler to Disneyland. And I'm calling again with another toddler-related question. We are going to be in Paris at the end of February. And I'm just kind of wondering if you had any thoughts at all about taking a toddler, a young 2-year-old, to Disneyland Paris right now. I frankly have not done like any research about this, so I'm kind of just asking you first. I think there is a new park opening there, like right after we leave. So I guess I'm kind of like, is it going to be less crowded because this new park is about to open? Like, would it, will there just not be as many people there? Might be a good time to go. If I'm being honest, I'm probably leaning towards not going just because there's so much other stuff we want to do in Paris. And we just did Disneyland. But I'm also like, is it a good kid-friendly option? I think my parents will be with us and they might enjoy going. And, would it be a little less crowded with this new park about to open? Anyway. Would love any thoughts you have. Really enjoy the podcast and thanks. Bye.
Listen, dude, you knew what you were going to get yourself into if you called me because I am obviously going to tell you to go. I'm going to tell you to go to Disneyland Paris. You've already done the hard work. You've gotten a toddler to Paris. And while I'm assuming that you are coming from either Canada or the US, if you were coming from like London, you'd probably mention it and be like, it's a short train ride. We can come back. If you are traveling overseas with a toddler, you're there. You're there. You're so close. I mean, you could literally like hire a car to take you with a car seat. You could take the train and not even worry about a car seat. Not only that, Disneyland Paris, the narrative lately has been like, Disney Tokyo is way cheaper than Disney World. Yeah? Well, a one-day adult ticket to Disneyland Paris is as low as $61. The most expensive ticket that I'm seeing is 107, and it's not even during your dates. Like right now in February, the most expensive single adult ticket that I'm finding is $98. And they're as low as on certain days. Again, I don't know your dates. 62, 63, 85, 77. So we're not dealing with, like I mentioned earlier in this episode, a nearly $300 in purchase for one adult. Like this is something that is kind of more doable. And while Disneyland Paris is not the How do I be kind? For me, like, Walt Disney World is the shining star in the Disney park portfolio. It is home base. Tokyo, also amazing. Hong Kong's done a lot of cool stuff. Like, there are a lot of great things to say about a lot of parks. Disneyland Paris has its flaws, but where it shines is that it is unbelievably beautiful. It is unbelievably beautiful. And I do also feel like, even right now, I'm playing into the bad branding. Like, why are we all like, you're Disney? There is so much to do there. It is beautiful. It is priced correctly. The food may be questionable at best, but you're going with a two-year-old who's going to eat whatever. You're fine. You're not going here to eat for like 4 days on a big adventure vacation. Like, you are going to do the hits. You're going to see the castle. You're going to get iconic photos of your child in their fantasy land. They have rides that your kid can go on in Adventureland. They have like a whole pirates area that you can run around. You should absolutely go, because also the stakes here are so low for you. Like you mentioned, Walt Disney Studios Park is doing like a huge rebranding, reopening about a month after you're there. It's going to be Disney Adventure World, if that phrase has solidified itself in my brain, which I'm pretty sure it has. That's the name, right? That's the name? Is that the name? Hold on, now I'm... See, I don't trust myself. I don't know why this episode is all about me not trusting myself. Disney Adventure World. Wow, I really don't trust my own brain and I really need to do that. Anyway, stick to Disneyland. Just do the Disneyland portion. And while I can't really give you any advice about crowds or how it'll be, like, just looking at the ticket prices, they're on the lower end for February, which usually is indicative of there being less people there because the prices are low. I think you should absolutely do it. And I think the photo that you take of your tiny child in front of that castle, like, sometimes I do things in case my child is a future Disney adult. Your kid will have such a flex. They'll just fully be like, oh yeah, that's just me too, chilling at Disneyland Paris. No big. Like, you can have such magical little memories on your trip. And while all of Paris is fantastic, all of it, I do think that on your international trip, assuming, again, your international trip with your small child, it might be a breath of fresh air to be in a place like this where there's no cars, except for like, you know, like Disneyland vehicles. Like, there's no cars. It's clean and easy. Like, being in a contained space with a child that is a Disney park with me, for me, has been huge because there's so much I don't have to worry about. I don't have to worry about safety. I don't have to worry about how we're going to get to the bathroom, where we're going to get water. Everything is set up for people to be there. And I think that that will be really, really nice for you for at least a day of what I assume is going to be a chaotic trip. There's plenty to see in Paris. There's plenty to see. And you want your child to see all of it. But I do think that you would have a really nice time, even if it's for like a half day, even if you just like spend the amount to be like, you know what, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's put money behind it. Let's do it. I think it'll be really nice to just like go to Fantasyland. Their teacups are adorable. Just have a nice little like bizarro Disneyland Parisian day and then you can head back to the city. So yeah, you should do it. You should do it. You should do it. And that's where I'm at. I think even if you just go, again, my advice for traveling to a Disney park with a young child is have, sometimes depending on the age, it's like have three things you want to do. With a young child, they say have one thing you want to do. And if that one thing is like a photo with a Mickey balloon on, like in front of the castle on Main Street, if it's that, you can do that. Like if it's going on a Parisian version of a ride that you are used to, do that. Like it is, you are able to have, the stakes are lower. This isn't what you're traveling for. I think you can get it done and have a great time. Let me know if you end up going. I hope you have so much fun. And I'm jealous. I gotta say, Disneyland Paris has been kicking around in my brain lately. I'm kind of itching to go. Like sometimes when I'm exercising, my brain will just take me to random places. And the place it keeps taking me is Disneyland Paris. And I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know why when I'm doing like arm circles, I'm like, oh, I just want to be in Disneyland. But I do. And so I hope you have a wonderful time if you end up going. I hope you have a wonderful time. Okay, bye. Thanks for calling. That's our show. Thank you all so much for listening to our first of the year Gab Sesh, and one which we're going to do monthly, which honestly is very exciting. You can rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts, and rate and follow us on Spotify. You can also give us a call at 747-CHURROS. We got so many good calls to the point where, like, I don't know, I've been wanting to make a website for a while. I know I already talked about it this episode, but like I want there to also be a way to like get all these recommendations to people because everyone gave me such good recommendations from the bucket list episode. So I'll figure it out in due time. Everything in due time. But yeah, truly love getting your calls. Please keep them coming. They are the highlight of my week. If you are planning a trip to Universal, to Disney, Disney Cruise Line, Royal Caribbean, anything like that, make sure to use MEI Mouseman Travel when you book. They make booking a breeze. They truly know everything and they do it all for free. I can't recommend them enough. Having worked with them now for my own personal trips and also for Amusapalooza, like, these people can handle anything you throw at them, and I cannot recommend booking with them enough. Again, it's like having a personal assistant for your vacation, and it costs you absolutely nothing. Head to mousemantravel.com/amusing for all of your travel needs, and enjoy. Honestly, like, they just make the process so much easier. You can follow me at Carly Wiesel and join the FOMALY at facebook.com/group/CarlyWiesel. Subscribe to my Instagram, 99 cents a month. We are always having a good time over there. I don't know, it's a dollar, and I know a dollar is still a dollar, but the value of a dollar is, rapidly decreasing. I feel like a pastry is now $7 in the city I live in, so that's 7 months of content for one croissant. So give it a shot. I don't know. I have fun there, and I would love to have you there as well. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Yay! You got your voice back. I'm so excited. Now you can call me. The Disneyland handcrafted premiere movie sounds so wonderful, and to be able to walk through Walt's office seems amazing to me. Everything is left preserved exactly how it was. Like, oh my gosh. And your dress and shoes were fabulous. I know that's not Disney content. I can hear you saying in the back of my head, who cares? The great thing about calling in to 747 Churros is that you get to leave your unedited voice and you have to listen to it. It's a win-win for me. Leslie is amazing. It must be so unbelievable to see the beginning concept, of her reality come to film. It is all so exciting to me. Great episode this week, honey. Excited to meet Sarah, and everyone else is going to Musapalooza in a few weeks. Yay! I'm so excited. I can't wait. I love you, Carly. I love you, Pearl. Bye-bye.